It's the world famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com, here for this Thursday night. Stephen Bozell from Corona, California, joining us. We're talking about this guy, Duck Dynasty guy, this Phil Robertson guy who, you know, I'm getting tired of doing stories about one more dumbass who was given a national platform and then he sounds like a dumbass and then everybody is sort of surprised. So, I got to agree with Steve on this one.
Oh, well, that's not what you said last hour.
Phil, I want to just jump in. You didn't say that. You were taking the decidedly liberal stance on that.
I noticed that too, Mr. Henry. And
so you noticed what? That I took a decidedly liberal stance, saying that I don't like the guy's comments.
Yes, sir. That's what I heard.
Well, I don't like the guy's comments.
I don't get it then.
What's not to get? You understand, Margaret, right?
Well, I'm thinking about. No, I don't.
Are you kidding? I'm saying that I don't agree with the guy's comments, but that's the guy. And if they are shocked by his comments, meaning A&E or anybody in the media, well, what did you expect? Take a look at the guy. Look where he's from. Look what he is. I hate to stereotype somebody, but it's obvious that they didn't want to. Mute this guy's marvelously eccentric personality. I can get that. You know,
and so he goes out there and says the things that he says that comes naturally to a man from the hill, from the deep recesses of the hills that he comes from. And so, but what you're saying is that they should have expected it. Is that what you're saying?
That's exactly what I'm saying. And you agreed with me.
Well, I didn't agree with you. I thought I came up with the idea originally, but.
Well, it doesn't make any difference. I think that a man still needs to be held accountable for the things that he says and for the damage that he do or that he does do. And I think that the comments by this man, whether or not he is, as you call him, Phil, mountain trash or not, I think is a very, 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 very unfortunate series of comments.
All right. Is that Father McQuarters on the line, Father?
Phil, how are you doing? I can barely hear you, Phil.
Father James McQuarters, how are you, sir?
Yes, Phil, doing fine.
Father, we wanted you to weigh in on this. You have done, when you first came to the United States, you did your diocese work?
It's called the diocese. The diocese of Los Angeles Diocese, the Roman Catholic faith, right. That I did outreach and mission work among a lot of the hill people. I did it also among the immigrant people, Mexican immigrant people, and for the farm workers, and so forth.
Father, this is Steve Bozell. I'm not a Catholic. I'm a Protestant. I'm a Assemblies of God.
Well, that's right, Steve. What can I do for you?
But I do respect the Catholic, the Catholic Church. And do you feel that because these people come from mountain time, that there should be forgiven the transgressions and the sins of how they want to do, you know.
Let me say something, if I could. And I don't mean anything by this. I mean this is with love in my heart for all of my fellow men. But a lot of the hill people that you're talking about, and I did minister to a great many of our mountain, as you call them, Phil, the mountain trash. I don't like that term at all. I think it's very... demeaning, Phil.
I agree with you, Father.
Well, that's not what you were saying. Oh, man.
It's very demeaning, Phil. And thank you, Margaret.
Wait a second. She was saying that last hour.
You saying that last hour? I don't think you should be acting like a child, Phil. If that's what the kind of thing you want to say, I'm telling you that it's offensive to be your fellow man. And I would hope that you treat your fellow man with a little bit of respect.
Phil, that's what I was trying to tell you. You know,
you didn't say anything about me saying mountain trash.
Yeah, I have to go with Margaret on this one. You said mountain trash, but I didn't hear her say no mountain trash.
Well, now, wait a minute, Margaret. You didn't say mountain trash?
I heard her say mountain trash in a commercial break, but not on the air.
I heard her say mountain trash.
Well, I don't think it's going to do you any good to... this is a dog that won't hunt, okay? This is a dog that won't hunt. The dog's not in this fight. And I think you have to take your dog and put it in the truck and drive away. You understand what I'm saying?
Yes, I understand what you're saying. Let me just ask you here. So you did, as you say, missionary work. I mean, these are Americans. It's not missionary work like one would do in a third world country, right?
No. What we're doing is setting up parishes and setting up places of worship in different rural locales across the United States. And I met a lot of these people. They're good people. They're strong people, and they're people that care. But I will tell you this. I'm a little bit shocked at the man's comments here, this Mr. Robertson saying that he doesn't believe in homosexuality, because a great many of these male members of these mountain clan have their first sexual encounter with either another man or livestock. And it's shocking.
Oh, man, wow, you just blew the lid right off.
It's very shocking.
Livestock?
Yeah, that's exactly right.
Oh, my, well, you know something, I read In the book Last Picture Show, I read, oh no, it wasn't Last Picture Show, it was the Outsiders, one of those books where they chased a steer around a corral, and that was, well,
are you kidding me?
No. Woo! No way. No way. A lot of these people, that's the young men in the clans and the different real deep holler people. I'm not talking about people that live near the highway. I don't think anyone that lives near the highway would do that.
That was my experience, too, Phil. I've been, you know, when I grew up near the highway, I want to make that clear. I didn't grow up in the deep holler, you know.
No, this is not people that are from the highway. This is the deep holler.
People from the highway.
Right, the people that live near the highway.
The people that live near the highway, generally the ones operate the gas station. But if you're talking deep holler, well, they're going to be involved in every kind of degrading experience known to mortal man.
All right. So what you're saying here, Father, is that this behavior that this man Robertson is castigating behavior, the life, the orientation of gay people, in point of fact, homosexual sex or homoerotic sex, whatever you want to call it, is something that, quote, deep holler people involve themselves in?
Yes, but I'm talking only the deep holler because there's not a great opportunity for any other kind of sex. And so it's not the people near the highway. The people near the highway, no. But
I get it about the people near the highway, okay? I understand that.
Right, because they're having more contact and they're out there in the world. But so I don't think that this man Robertson is being completely honest if he says that he looks down his nose or looks down whatever that is. I guess that's his nose. I'm looking at the picture. Yes, that is his nose. He looks down his nose. You're not going to laugh at that?
Oh, it's pretty good, Father.
No, I'm not laughing at it.
Anyway, he looks down his nose at...
What am I supposed to laugh at?
Nothing.
He looks down his nose at gay people, but should be honest enough to say that when the time suited him and the mood suited him, he tapped into that and more. And I think...
All right, enough about Duck Dynasty and Mr. Robertson. I guess he'll be dealt with. He has been suspended from this show. They said that his personal views don't reflect A&E. It also didn't take long for the Gay and Lesbian Alliance Against Defamation to fire back at the outspoken Hunter. Phil and his family claim to be Christian, but Phil's lies about an entire community fly in the face of what the true Christians believe. GLAD spokesman Wilson Cruz responded. He clearly knows nothing about gay people, the majority of Louisianans and Americans who support legal recognition of loving and committed gay and lesbian couples. So I guess he'll go cool as jets, huh?
Well, and the dishonest thing, the thing that I don't like, is he's going to come back very contrite and say that he understands and that gay people are great, because who can turn their nose up at that payday? And the next thing you know, he's going to be converted and he'll be doing gay events. And everyone will think he's the second coming of Dr. Laura.
Well, on second thought, maybe. You'll say no one's going to mistake him for Dr. Laura, but you never can tell. I'm Father James McQuarters, and...
Why'd you hang up on him?
I'm not having him doing his shtick, okay? All right, we're going to take a break on the Phil Henry Show here, 855-500-7445, world-famous Phil Henry Show and philhenryshow.com. Thank you very much, Father, and we will... continue to watch this story very, very closely. Be right back.
Woo-hoo!
Welcome back, world-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com.
Yeah, we're rocking around the Christmas tree at the Christmas party high.
This is David G. Hall, and on behalf of everybody here at the Phil Henry Show, well, on behalf of myself, I can't really speak for Phil or anybody. I'm just on behalf of myself and Daphne. We want to wish you all a very Merry Christmas.
Later we'll have some pumpkin pie.
This is R.C. Collins, and I'm at the
Bradley Military Academy.
Bradley at the Bradley.
Christmas. Get out of here, will you? All right, welcome back here on the Phil Henry Show. And I don't know whether or not you know. Would you turn it down, please?
Pretty good song, though.
Yeah, it's a great song. If you don't know yet, there's been a...
Would you turn that down, Bud?
I thought I did. No, when you turn it down, it's got to go, there you go.
You got to be kidding me, Dickman. Are you crazy or something? You don't know how to turn something down?
I went the wrong direction with it.
Yeah, you went the... There you are. That's truer words were never spoken. You sure did go the wrong direction with it.
What's that supposed to mean? I'm gay or something?
No. Ira Curry of Stone Mountain, Georgia, announced as one of two Mega Million winners. This lady and her husband, he is a 74-year-old gentleman, Ms. Curry, who works as an underwriter at an insurance company. And what a beautiful woman she is, too.
I was looking at... Isn't she lovely? And her husband is... They're both very... They look well off. And what I'm saying is, this looks like the first time that we've seen one of these Mega Million people that look as if they've actually already got money. You know what I mean?
Let me see. Oh, yes. Uh-huh. Very much so.
Well, I don't know. I mean, I haven't seen pictures of every person that's ever won the Mega Millions, but generally, now, there was another chap.
You said Jap.
No, I didn't. Chap, okay?
What was he a Jap?
Hey, watch it with the Jap thing, okay?
Phil, you said it.
I said Chap, C-H-A-P. And actually, no, he's Vietnamese.
Well.
No, not well anything.
Boy, I'll tell you, Henry, what you get away with on this program,
woo!
I'll tell you what, it boggles the imagination, doesn't it? Doesn't it? Doesn't it leave you when you get off the air? Don't you look in a mirror and thank God you've lived another day? Don't you ever do that, Henry, huh?
No, I don't, General. I don't.
Well, why not?
Why should I?
Well, the things you say and what you do when you're sitting here that no one sees, I'm kidding.
But you're referencing the whole... C-H-A-P. That's what I said.
Phil, I heard you and you said chap. I know Phil is not that dumb. Phil's done some dumb things, but...
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Ira Curry of Stone Mountain, Georgia. You were saying, though, General.
Yes, well, they look like a couple of prosperous people. So, the question is, the Vietnamese gentleman, who's you say is an immigrant Vietnamese gentleman?
Yes. Now, I want to find the man's name. This gentleman... got a million. Here he is. His name is Thu Nguyen. He accepted a $1 million check from the California Lottery sales representative Mona Sanders. Here's a picture on Wednesday. Records show that he is the owner of a store. Where is his store? Well, he's a shop owner someplace in California. But the story goes as follows. Ira Curry, 56, of Stone Mountain, Georgia, has come forward as one of the two who struck it rich in the massive Mega Millions jackpot drawing. Curry will take the cash option, and after, I said, what did I say, 135 million?
Yes.
It's 120 million, so it was, I was pretty close, because what it is if you're taking the cash option, that means right away you're getting, and she's splitting it, was 640 million, right, so that's 320 million, and then you split the 320 million in half, and that would be 160 million, but obviously the taxes came out to 40 million more, $120 million.
It's amazing, and you wonder if people, I know this will sound very condescending because Frank and I have money, but I wonder if people really know what to do with that kind of money and if people can be trusted with that kind of money.
Well,
Margaret, that's very elitist of you, Margaret.
Very elitist.
No, now hold. Don't you dare try to paint me as some kind of a snoot up the you-know-what of the person in front of me because I want to make sure that I get a table ringside. No, you don't get to do that. Not today, you don't. I am simply saying...
Wait, could you just stop for a minute? Snoot up the you-know-what?
Yeah, I noticed that, too. That was very weird.
What?
Snoot up the what you... The
snoot up the what you?
Snoot up the you-know-what of the person in front of you because you want to get a table ringside.
I don't stutter, yes.
May I ask a question? Hold on. May I ask a question?
Yes, sir.
What does I don't stutter mean? I've been listening to you rednecks and you mental midgets around here using that term.
I am not a mental midget or a redneck.
Well, what does that mean?
I don't know. I've used it my whole life. The first time I heard it was when I was working in construction down in Florida. And,
is it a Southern term?
I don't think so. I think it's just a term that I heard the guys were saying. I'd say, hey, this, that. What'd you say? I said, but I don't stutter. So, whatever that means, you know.
I don't know what it means, but I like the way it sounds, and I like to use it. So that's why, so if someone says that to me, like, what did you say? I'll say, I don't stutter, because I like how it puts people on the defensive.
Very nice.
You're welcome.
All right, so Ira Curry is the lady's name, 56 of Stone Mountain, Georgia. And she won $120 million. This is the cash layout, and that's after taxes. That's a lot of jack. That's a beautiful thing. That was smart, man. She's not taking it. And do you know of anybody that actually, when they win these big jackpots, who takes the monthly?
Well, you talk about the monthly. What do you mean?
Yeah.
You can get this paid to you per month, and you actually get more money, I think.
Well, I don't think anyone trusts that the government's even going to have the money to pay you.
That's the truth. That's why people take the cash layout, because no one is going to believe, no one believes, I don't think, that the government will have the money left over.
Wow, that is, what an absolutely telling comment it is on our society and faith in government, that people want to take the whole cash layout right off the bat rather than, you know, the monthly, because they don't think the government's going to be solvent or at least have enough money to pay you. You know.
Well, it's not that weird of a statement.
All right, Bobby Dooley is with us from the Western Estates Homeowners Association. Hi, Bobby, how are you?
Oh, hi, Phil. I'm doing good.
You're taking a bath, I understand. We have a lot of people that take baths when they're on our show.
I'm awfully sorry, Phil, but it's been just a horrendous day. And the news that these people won the lottery was, of course, a little bit debilitating.
Why was it debilitating?
Well, Man, that is a tough word.
Hold on for a minute. We've got a lot of people tonight that can't express. Not that it doesn't happen every night, but we have a lot of people that are not able to pronounce words. And is there something in the air, or what people are drinking, or?
I'll look into it. I'm not sure.
Well, I haven't noticed it.
I have. Every other guest, Bobby. I'm sorry, so you were saying?
I was saying what?
You were saying that it's a little debilitating?
Yeah, it's a little bit debilitating to see individuals winning this amount of money. As Margaret was saying, you're wondering, are they really going to be able to handle it, you know? So that's going to be the subject of our podcast tomorrow, Steve and I, on the Bobby Dooley podcast.
And the Bobby Dooley podcast, which is called Mm-hmm, right?
Yes, that's the name of it.
And so when you address this during the podcast tomorrow, and you're talking about whether or not people are qualified to win that kind of money, what does that mean exactly, qualified?
Well, Phil, I think that when you suddenly have $120 million dropped in your lap, it is incumbent upon you to set an example to others as to how that money should be spent. As to, Steve, honey, could you get me another cup of tea, please?
I'm trying to get it now.
Yeah, get me another cup of tea, the chamomile. I'm so sorry. I'm just soaking. I'm enjoying the soak.
Feels good, doesn't it?
It really does. It really, really does. I'm just laying here. Oh, yeah.
What kind of a day was it for you?
It was a tough day. We had Cocktails and Patio magazine was here. They were doing a photo shoot. I had about three or four different chains of wardrobe. I was first. They shot me near the pool. I was in a bathing suit, and then I was in the water, throwing a beach ball, And then they had me out on the lawn in the bikini, just sort of with one leg in the air, holding a beach ball.
Well, now, what was this for?
It was another photo layout for a cocktail from Patio Magazine. So I'm very, very tired.
All right, hold on for a minute, Bobby. We're going to take a break here and be back to Bobby Dooley. She discusses the folks that won the folks that won the lottery and the amounts of money that, frankly, are being doled out these days. This is $120 million to this lady. It was a $640 million jackpot. She took half, after taxes, $120 million. Phil Hendry Show.
Oh, I love this. This is the Band Aid, isn't it?
Yes, it is.
Do, 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 do. They did this song, if I may, Phil.
Yeah, well, welcome back to the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead.
Yes, they did this song for the Africans that were not eating properly, you know.
Yes, they were starving to death. That's what you mean by not eating properly?
Well, you don't have to get up in my face, General.
Well, Margaret, I think it's a little ignorant. Yeah, not eating properly? They were not eating at all.
Take it easy, General.
Well, I don't mind listening to the drivel and the... Would you turn the garbage down, please?
Yeah, it's a bitchin' song.
This is a love the garbage, is it? Okay.
Well, hold on. The reason why, when you say they weren't eating properly,
they were not getting, they weren't getting balanced meals. I know that.
No, General Shaw, turn it down, bud. General Shaw's right when he said that they weren't eating at all.
I wasn't aware of that.
Well, I think Margaret, you needs.
Oh, okay, Duck Dynasty.
Woo! You know what, I don't need this. I can go home and sit on my ass and watch Twilight Zone. I don't need you. Well, tonight,
thank God it's there. That's what I think of that.
Turn that down, bud. Thank you. Margaret, I agree with the general. It's,
Well, what are you getting all newscaster on me for, Phil? Margaret, I agree with the general.
Yeah, Phil, y'all go to Margaret.
Hey. It wasn't that the people of Ethiopia were not getting balanced meals. They weren't eating. They were starving to death. Dig it? That's what was happening when that song came out in 83, Band Aid. And by the way, Bob Geldof, who assembled that group of musicians, he of the Boomtown Rats, many people felt that he should, and I believe he was nominated, I could be wrong, for the Nobel Peace Prize. That's a pretty heavy ass. I don't think anybody from the world of rock and roll has ever been recognized for anything as heavy as a Nobel Peace Prize. I mean, a lot of them have been knighted, and
why don't we have something like that? You know, the British, they knight them and they give them the what is the one, Bud?
Yeah, to give them the order, they give them the British Empire, the king duke or something.
Yeah, that's they make them a duke.
They don't make them a duke.
Well, they've got these titles that they give them.
No, it's called the Order of the British Empire, the OBE. Okay?
Yeah, it's like, ain't that like a duke?
Well, it's a count or something?
No, it's the Order of the British Empire. I don't know what it is. It's distinguished service to the empire, distinguished service. I don't know. In America, we see that's the difference between the United States and the rest of the world. We don't have titles. We don't have duke and count and all that crap.
Well, but wait, but we have awards.
Yeah, we have awards. We give people awards. That's what we do in America. But we don't give them titles. It was one of the things that when the country was founded, the feelings against the royalty and the feelings against monarchy ran so high. And of course, we'd just gotten done with our war with the British. We didn't want to have anything to do with anything European. God knows we didn't want to have anything to do with anything British, and we didn't want titles. We didn't want that, this, that, none of that stuff. So, I mean, you're stuck, you know. If you're an American, if you're like from an American band, if you're in, I don't know, Pearl Jam, I don't know what you can hope for.
What about, like, get the Congressional Medal of Honor?
You can't get that.
That's a military honor only, bud. Don't go there. If you're telling me Pearl Jam, whoever they are, gets the Congressional Medal of Honor, mister, you're on the fighting side of me.
Hold on. He doesn't understand. Yeah, that's only for the military.
Who about like a Bronze Star, stuff like that?
Military.
That's all military?
Yes.
Well, Phil, I don't know. What about the Purple Heart?
That's military. That's all guys that get shot up in wars.
But they got shot. Who? Pearl Jam? Will you come get serious, man?
Will you come get serious? Boy, that sounded...
What were you trying to say there, Phil?
I said, will you get serious? There's nothing... You can give them the presidential citation. I think there's a presidential... I know what it is. There's a civilian thing you can get, and I think that's the Presidential Peace Medal. Ain't that what that is?
Ain't that what that is? Oh, God. You know, Phil, we're never, ever really going to be considered a country of class individuals when we have people like you saying, ain't that what it is?
What is the presidential freedom thing?
It's some kind of a civilian award. You're right.
I can look it up, Mr. Senator, and find out if there's anything they can give them, but I'm not sure.
Jeff Dowder is a drummer with the band Dark Horse. And Jeff has been on our program many a time to talk about different things. We wanted to have you on, Jeff, to talk about Roger Waters. I'm sorry that you were not able to make it, but Jeff is over at Mr. Pooh's tonight, where his band holds forth two sets. About to go on stage tonight, Jeff?
Right now we're going to have a set. We've got the band that's leading in here. Very good friends of mine, as a matter of fact. I think these guys are really terrific, called the Arabs. And
the name of the band is the Arabs?
Yeah, the Arabs. They come from the San Gabriel, come from your neck of the woods, the San Gabriel Valley, and they're going to be on stage here, open for a second set, and then we're going to be over here, Mr. Pooh's.
What do you think of a couple of things I want to ask you? The Roger Waters story, and then a question I have for performers, you know, in America as opposed to in England, where they're always getting these, they're knighted and they get the OBE and all these other things. Here in the United States, not having titles, does it matter to you as an artist?
Well, I mean, it doesn't matter to me. I'd be happy if I got a platinum album or something. Judgment at Sunrise, we're still perfecting it, and we've been working on that album for going on 12 years now.
12 years? You've been working on what?
We've been working on Judgment at Sunrise, which is the album that we were working on. And
well, when are you guys going to be done with it?
We feel we're close. We're getting really close. I want to overlay some other tracks, and I think the vocals need to be remixed. We did lose our singer, Scotty Burrow. He died when the van, you know, we had a van incident up in Vancouver, Washington, where it went off a cliff. And
you lost your lead singer in a van? The van crashed, huh?
Yeah, he was asleep, as a matter of fact, in the back of the van, and it just, the brakes released, and it rolled off a cliff and down about 300 feet and then exploded at the bottom. So it was kind of messed up, but then we went and got another lead singer, and we got to overlay the vocals.
I wanted to ask you, this lead singer, Scotty Burrow, he was in the back of the van, and he was asleep, and the brakes gave out?
Yeah, it was parked on a steep incline, and all of a sudden the brakes went out, and it rolled down a hill, and then it went down the cliff and exploded in a ball of flames at the bottom.
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean, I think it did. I don't know. But I know that he was in it, and they said that they couldn't. There was no point. I mean, they looked down the cliff, and they go, yeah, let's forget it.
So did it explode?
I'm assuming it did. I mean, it went down 300 feet, you know.
Yeah, it'd probably stand a reason. Well, that doesn't mean anything. I mean, how do you? Did anybody see it explode?
Mr. Henry, it went down a cliff of 300 feet and then hit the bottom. I'm assuming it exploded. And I'm not saying, you know, the life is like a TV show, but that's what would have happened on the TV.
You idiot. The television's got nothing to do with real life.
Excuse me, General. I don't really appreciate, you know.
Well, I think that real life is real life. And if you think it, so the van went down. Did anyone go down to see if the van was alive?
I mean, why? I mean, it went down 300 feet, and I'm assuming it was just a ball of dust, you know. I mean, they went down there, found the van. He wasn't in it. And
he wasn't in it?
No.
It went down 300 feet. Was it smashed up?
Yeah, I mean, it looked like it had gone down 300 feet, but they couldn't find him, so they just went, well, you know, he probably got vaporized or something in the explosion.
Wait a minute.
Hold on, Phil. How do you know it exploded if you found the van intact?
Well, the van was banged up pretty bad.
But did it look like it had been burning?
Do I?
Did the van look, you know, Phil, I'm going to, did the van look like,
the general's voice is given out. Did the van look like it had been burning?
Did the van look like it had been burning? I'm not qualified. I'm not an arson investigator. But I'm assuming that it did.
Why do you assume it?
Because they didn't find Scotty, and I think he got vaporized.
See, that's what I'm saying. They didn't find Scotty, and they...
What's up with your voice, man?
He's got a problem with it drying out.
I'm going to get some water, and then I want to come back and talk to you.
What?
I said I'm going to get some water, and I want to go get some water, and then I'm going to come back and talk.
He's going to come back and talk to you. Look, I don't want to belabor it. You say that the van exploded, and did they ever find this man?
Well, I mean, how are you going to find a guy, Phil, that got vaporized?
What do you mean vaporized, man? What does that mean? Is that what the coroner called it? If you can't find a guy's body, you can't find any... Did they find DNA?
As far as I can tell, no.
Then where is the guy?
Mr. Henry, I know it's hard to explain, but if a guy goes down a cliff... Don't it stand to reason he'll vaporize?
No, it doesn't stand to reason he'll vaporize. Not at all.
Let me tell you something. Your name is Jeff, right?
Yes, sir.
All right. You don't vaporize. Let me go get...
Okay. We'll take a break.
I don't know what's up with the general, but you better get...
Yeah.
That man, that doubter, and you've been talking to him for 12 years. He's been working on that album 12 years.
Yeah, but that's not the part that's scaring me tonight. The part that's scaring me is they lost their lead singer to a van accident where it went down a hill, hit the bottom, they went down, found it, and the guy's gone. I bet you he got thrown out of the van.
Yeah, I was going to say, he probably got thrown out of the van and is dangling. You think about dangling from a branch?
Yeah, he might be dangling from a branch. He might have gotten thrown out into a tree or something. And
well, by now, the only thing that'll be hanging from the tree is a shirt and a pair of pants. With, perhaps, with nothing in it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, there'll be the skeletal remains, don't you think?
Well, no, the skeleton will have slipped through the shirt and the pants to the ground, so the only thing that's there is the shirt and pants.
Wow.
Well, I don't know, Phil. How long has the man been gone?
I don't know. We'll have to ask Jeff. We'll be right back on a world-famous Phil Henry. This stuff is just giving me gives me the willies. I don't know what else to say. World-famous Phil Henry Show, philhenryshow.com. Visit our online store for a backstage pass, 2 tiers of subscriptions, gift subscriptions, all kinds of goodies for Christmas time. The Phil Henry Show here on your station, and soon to be on your tune-in, baby, because within hours, we are going to be on tune-in, and we will have our own dedicated feed on tune-in, so you can simply enter our name, and you'll find the Phil Henry Show, and only the Phil Henry Show, right there, a dedicated feed to you. To listen to the show live. And what does that mean? It means that if we're not on in your area, on a radio station in your area, all you need is your smartphone and your TuneIn app, and there's the Phil Henry Show absolutely freaking deliciously live, okay? So for the time being, TuneIn is going to be our live presence in the smartphone world, which does not mean that we are not working toward a Phil Henry-only app, but... we do appreciate our relationship with TuneIn immensely, and that should be starting, as I mentioned, within hours. When it does, when I get the word, when I get it, you get it. When you get it, I get it.
Yeah, and you get it, I'll get it.
Well, no, when you get it, they'll get it.
Yeah.
What are you saying, bud?
Just when you get it, I'll get it.
You know, I don't appreciate the humor.
Doesn't mean anything by it. He's just, you know.
I know, but when I get it, let me tell you something, bud. When you get it, everyone will know that you got it.
What's that mean?
Yeah, that's not even funny.
I'm not trying to be funny.
Never mind, okay? Can we talk about the... So TuneIn, that's TuneIn.
And what is TuneIn?
TuneIn is an application that you use on your smartphone, and you go to it, and you hit your app, and you just enter Phil Henry, and there we are. You don't have to necessarily look up any individual stream. We will be there. in all of our bitchiness, in all of our bitchin' glory and all that stuff. So all these things are very hands-on stuff, though. You know what I mean?
What do you mean?
Well, because I got to make sure the artwork, if they're using, are they using artwork? Is it the right artwork? I don't know. Blah, 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 boom. That's what comes of running your own network, you know.
Well, what makes you think, what do you say artwork?
We're talking about the artwork, like the logo they use?
Yeah, but I got to make sure they're even using a logo. I mean, when we were first on Pandora, I looked at this Pandora presence that the Phil Henry Show had, and it was the most pathetic thing. There was no artwork. It was just, I don't know. I'm still not convinced Pandora is all that great for somebody like me. I mean, if you're a big artist, a music artist, that's great. I don't know that Pandora is a place where people go for comedy, you know, or 2-3-4 minute comedy clips. So, and that was a little bit of a disappointing experience. So I think that with TuneIn, we want to make sure that we have at least some kind of a real presence there. So that's going to be happening, as I mentioned, probably should be happening before at least, I don't want to say, you know.
See, this is when you start saying, you know.
That's David. David Hall joins us. David is the Vice President of Syndication here for the world-famous Phil Henry Show. And David, how are you this evening?
I'm doing very good, Phil, and we've been driving around listening to the program. It's sounding good tonight. I wanted to jump on and tell everybody that, yes, TuneIn is in the works. I know that I sent you the paperwork, and you wanted to send it to your attorney, and I said to you, you don't need to send it to your attorney. It's just a couple of adjustments here and there. Why pay the legal? And you were insistent.
No, I wasn't. No, I was not insistent.
Yeah, but you're always wanting to go to the lawyer, and I wanted to just...
Here's where we get... Hold on for just a minute.
Can I finish what I'm saying?
Well, yeah, but this is where we get into the problem. You're always wanting to go to the lawyer. So right away, now people have an impression of me as being Mr. Legal.
Well, you wanted to send it to the lawyer, didn't you?
I wanted to send it to my attorney to look at it. Yeah, this is an agreement, folks, that you signed with TuneIn. No big thing, no big deal, you know. And you guys came back with... you don't need to do that. You can... it's only this and that. And I said, what did I say?
Well, it looked like you were crying a little bit.
No, it did not. You guys said to me, hey, Phil, no need to spend the money on legal. This is all they're talking about. And I said, cool.
Well, I'm looking at... You didn't say cool. You said, okay.
Same thing, right?
No. What do you want, honey? Daphne just said it seemed like you were giving them a hard time, but she understands. So we're going to, and I'd appreciate if you wouldn't make any comment. I just want you to know that, yes, we are going to stop off at Spud Nuts here in about a half a mile. Please don't make a comment.
That's Spud Nuts Donuts.
I just asked this jackass.
Bud, don't say anything, okay?
I asked you not to say anything.
Yeah, but that's, you're stopping there on account of Daphne.
Bud, I'm going to kick you out. I'll kick you out of the studio.
What did I just got done saying to this guy? Not to say anything.
He's your fair-haired boy. That's Bud, you know.
Bud, I asked you not to say that we're stopping at Spud Nuts because Daphne needs another box.
She needs another cooler.
Yes, I asked you not to say anything.
But there you are saying it.
Yeah, what are you doing talking about it?
I'm telling you. How do I tell you what not to say if I don't say it? Please don't...
You know, David, I listen to this program at home, and then I come in here and I participate in this program, and I listen very carefully to all that's being said, and I have to draw the conclusion that there is some kind of brain damage afoot. I don't know if it's shared. I don't know if it's contagious. But what just transpired, that exchange between you, Dickman, and Phil, was among some of the dumbest conversation I think the world has ever known. Now, I was looking...
Well, General, I appreciate that, but don't include me in that.
Well, yeah, he is including you in that. And I agree with you, General, for once.
Well, you realize you're indicting yourself for being a real rube.
Yes, I understand that. I'll take the hit. So you're on your way to the Spud Nuts.
I just asked you guys... Oh, God. Did you hear her? She's screaming at me now. Because you guys are bringing up Spud Nuts. All right, so I just wanted you to know that TuneIn is on the way. I know you just did a big, long rap about it, but I want to get my two cents in because I am the Vice President of Syndication here on the program, And I think TuneIn will be great. I think when you finally get your own, I don't think we need your own app, but when you do get your own app, well, I guess I'm probably overstaying my welcome, right?
Yes, you are. Goodbye.
All right. Okay. I just.
So,
I can't believe he's driving around with her looking for crullers.
Well, I think that, yeah, they're looking for crullers, because she's always looking for them. Enough of the conversation about crullers, okay? He's over at Spudnuts, which is the... Actually, we ought to make Spudnuts the official donut place of the Phil Henry Show, because I got news for you, man. Man, that's a good donuts.
Pretty good, man.
Man, they some good donuts. And I'm not a donut eater now, but I can tell you, when I start eating donuts again, Seahawk cornerback Brandon Browner may have lost his appeal, but that doesn't mean his fight is over. The suspended cornerback released a statement on Wednesday saying that he disagrees with the circumstances of his one-year suspension and will fight the NFL with all legal resources available. Browner's agent, Peter Schaefer, echoed that sentiment on Twitter. They reported on Wednesday it was very likely that Browner would sue the league. Browner was hit with a one-year suspension for violating the league's substance abuse policy on November the 25th. The suspension didn't start right away, though, because Browner decided to appeal. This is the same Brandon Browner, by the way, who we had singled out, ladies and gentlemen, on that hit against the, I think it was the New England Patriots, Wes Welker. Everybody was talking about what a major league hit it was, and I'm sitting there asking myself, what are you talking about, man? The guy held on to the football. Do you dig it? If you're hanging on to the football, it's not a good hit, you know?
What does that mean?
We'll see you guys tomorrow, world-famous Phil Henry Show.